our expensive imports.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. As you know, this country relies more than ever on imported goods. And here's what it's costing us. This morning, the Labor Department said import prices have risen about 22% in the last year. That's the biggest increase in 26 years. Oil was, of course, the killer. Imports of petroleum products were up 80% from last July to this one. We could start to see this trend reverse with the dollar gaining strength. With prices so high, people have really reined in their spending. The government says retail sales fell in July. That's the first drop since February. Elise Roth tells us there's one thing in particular people aren't buying.
Vehicles. Sales of cars and parts dropped almost 2.5% last month. Joel Naroff is chief economist for Commerce Bank.
Well, clearly consumers are being cautious, but the biggest problem is that they're not buying motor vehicles at all.
Not surprising, since gas prices were still around record highs last month.
And as a result of that, consumer spending is soft, but it's not terrible, and that's what seemed to come out of July's retail sales numbers.
There were decent gains in both furniture and electronics. Of course, numbers like these are notoriously volatile, because in June, nobody was buying furniture or appliances. Naroff thinks things could pick up slightly in August with back-to-school sales and college students buying electronic gadgets. Slow spending by consumers means tough times for retailers. Naroff says stores are keeping smaller inventories and offering big discounts on the stuff they do have. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Might be a good time to buy, but on Wall Street this morning, investors are selling. So far, the Dow is down 112 points to 11,530. The NASDAQ has fallen 9. The S&P 500 is down 8 points. European shares are off by 1 to 2% so far. Bank shares are taking another beating. And in Asia, the markets closed 1 to 2% lower. The chip company AMD has come out with a new graphics card for computer gaming. It's called the Radeon HD 4870 X2. Apparently, that's tech speak for totally awesome. Mitchell Hartman explains.
AMD's new graphics card musters the power of two really fast processing chips. Bottom line, it does mind-blowing 3D, says Kelt Reeves of Falcon Northwest, which makes gaming PCs.
Say you're playing a World War II flight simulator and you just bank your aircraft. You've got to render all those other planes in the sky, every bullet, every cloud.
The new card puts AMD ahead of rival NVIDIA in the computer graphics stakes. It also redeems AMD's purchase of ATI Technologies, which developed the card. At $549, the card is not cheap, but Ricardo Torres of GameSpot.com doesn't think it'll slow down sales.
It is perhaps not the smartest thing in the whole world to blow like a month or two's rent on a card and a PC, but they're escapism, they're entertainment.
And Torres says the PC gaming business has always appeared somewhat recession resistant. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Listening to the Morning Report for Wednesday, August 13th on Marketplace.org. The Russians are making further inroads into the American steel industry. One of Russia's biggest steelmakers is taking over the John Manili Company. More from Stephen Beard in London.
This is the biggest takeover in the global steel industry this year. Novolepetsk of Russia is paying $3.5 billion for John Manili. The Ohio-based company is one of the biggest American manufacturers of pipes and tubes. Its products are used widely in the U.S. in plumbing, scaffolding, and electric wiring. The takeover is part of a trend. Analyst Natalia Leshenko says that Russian companies have been encouraged by the Kremlin to turn themselves into global champions.
They have the money and they have the confidence to go abroad, and they see it as a challenge to try and conquer the world.
Russian steel makers now have a significant presence in the U.S. They control almost 10% of American steelmaking capacity. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
If you have to fly into New York, you know what a pain it can be. The government would like to do something about all the flight delays. One of the plans involves rerouting flights over parts of New Jersey, New York, and Connecticut. But some people in those areas are saying, not over my backyard. Ashley Milne-Tite has more.
Richfield, Connecticut is one of several towns that's suing the FAA for trying to shift the flight paths. Rudy Marconi is Richfield's top official. He admits his resistance may sound a little selfish, still.
There's no reason for us to sit back and say, that's fine, relocate 150 to 300 flights a day right down the throat of Fairfield County. We're not going to be that easy, and we're not going to accept that.
Marconi says the FAA hasn't explored all the alternatives. But Michael E. Levine of the NYU School of Law says the Connecticut towns may see planes thousands of feet overhead, but they'll barely hear them.
A modern jet airliner flying over at that altitude makes what you could call background noise.
Levine says the proposed changes will mean more noise for some areas near Newark. He says the lawsuits are holding up the FAA's plan to reduce delays, and that's bad for everyone. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
In the healthcare community, there's something known as the Hispanic paradox. That's when Hispanic immigrants arrive to the U.S. healthy, but the more time they spend here, the less healthy they become. This could have huge implications for the U.S. healthcare system. A report out this morning attempts to diagnose this Hispanic paradox. From our America's desk at WLRN, Dan Gretsch reports.
One quarter of Hispanics in the U.S. do not have a doctor or health provider that they routinely see for care. That's according to a national survey of 4,000 Hispanic adults by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and the Pew Hispanic Center. Susan Mnuchin co-authored the report.
One would think that people that don't have a medical home don't have one because of financial reasons or insurance reasons.
In fact, many of those people are young single men who rarely get sick. Mnuchin says that will change. As they age, Hispanics are more likely than the population as a whole to become obese and suffer from diabetes.
On the part of medical researchers, there is concern that without preventative care and monitoring, there may be a problem in the future.
A problem that could require expensive medical care. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
China probably doesn't want people talking about this right now, but the head of China's food safety agency has died. Today, a newspaper reported this was a suicide. China's official line, it was an accident. This all happened 11 days ago, and we're just finding out about it now. Our correspondent Scott Tong joins us from Beijing. Scott, why do you think this information was withheld?
This gets back to the potentially very embarrassing situation of product and food safety coming out of China. So if you have a situation where there is alleged bribery, alleged corruption involving a Chinese official, this will remind many people in the world about substandard pet food and toothpaste, bringing back all these questions about China and quality at exactly the time when China is trying to buff up its image with the Olympics. So there would be interests who would want to keep this under the rug, certainly until the closing ceremonies.
Was there something that put extra pressure on him recently that might have led to this?
Well, the news reports say that he committed suicide by leaping off a building, reportedly, a day after anti-corruption officials met with him about what the report said were financial irregularities. Now, that's kind of Chinese code for corruption allegations.
Okay, Scott Tong in Beijing, thank you.
Okay, Scott, thanks a lot.
China is certainly trying to display its new power and wealth during these games, and you can attribute China's success in large part to trade with the U.S. Many people argue, of course, that's hurting Americans. But at the same time, commentator Will Wilkinson believes the U.S. has benefited too.
Unlike in the 100-meter backstroke, in trade, everybody can win. Thanks to China's greater global integration, hundreds of millions have been lifted out of grinding poverty. But due to trade with China, America's poor are doing better too. A recent working paper by University of Chicago economists Christian Broda and John Romalis shows that trade with China, as brought to you by beloved institutions such as Walmart, has done more for poor families than rich families. Trade even helps to hold real income inequality in check. How rich you are in real terms depends both on how much money you have and the prices of the things you tend to buy. Poorer families spend a bigger share of their budget on goods whose prices are affected by international trade, like cotton shirts and canned fish. Wealthier families spend a bigger share on services that don't face the same kind of global price competition, like yard work and psychoanalysis. This means the rich have faced a higher effective rate of inflation than the poor have, so much so that the gap in real incomes has stayed put, even as the nominal gap has gone through the roof. According to Broda and Romalis, prices of consumer goods heavily used by poorer Americans have fallen most rapidly in sectors where the Chinese have become most involved. Sure, zero-sum nationalistic athletic spectacles are great, but a positive-sum system that helps most everyone is even better. So go ahead and root for America. But don't forget that when it comes to improving the welfare of the American poor and reducing inequality, Chinese trade gets the gold.
Will Wilkinson is a research fellow at the Cato Institute. You can find a link to his blog and share your thoughts with us online at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.